Welcome to the third of the St. Augustine's Advent podcast series, where we are exploring passages from the texts of the Old Testament prophets and reflecting on how their voices might speak into our hopes, challenges, and fears today. The passage for this week is from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 34. And to start, I'll read verses 1 to 11. Before turning to a time of reflection on the chapter as a whole. Ezekiel 34, 1 to 11. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals. And because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. The taper gently rises, offers up its gift to the candle. The wick sloughs off its wax and catches hold of the bright. Wavering, then steady, and in that moment, Advent awakens. The taper bearer notices that though the candle now burns stronger, their breath is held. For the candle bears an invitation to tarry, and not to rush the season. Rushing or waiting, days fold into each other, and now three lights brighten the darkness, bringing the day of promise edging closer. And as we wait or rush and wonder, the world continues to unfold around us, bringing with it its stories. Stories of kindness, of generosity, stories of violence and despair. Watching each day, screens lay bare before us the pain and the suffering, the vulnerable and marginalised, abused, attacked and shunned, images of war, of waste, of loss. Where now is the light of Advent, the hope and peace for the whole world? Is this really, we ask, how it is supposed to be? But even in asking the simple question, the light of the candles burns in our hearts. We know the answer while the words are still on our lips. This is not how it is supposed to be. God's Advent, God's light is filled to overflowing with love, sacrifice, and faithfulness. How have we travelled so far and ended up here? Does God not notice? I have seen, speaks the voice of God, slow, thoughtful, and steady. He sees now, how can he not? And he saw then. And as he sees, he acts and he stirs the very being of Ezekiel, who responds to his calling to speak the words, to put the world on notice, deliver this message for all who would hear it. Ezekiel, a prophet peculiar and passionate, with lively mind and livelier words, he pours out unstopping the heart of God for his people. It rushes, tumbles from him, such a message, such a responsibility. He bends under its weight, but does not quite break. His message, his words, critical and comforting. Ezekiel stands in the place where God has called him to be. He faces the leaders of the people of Israel. Does his voice waver? His heart beating faster, is that nerves or resolve? Not known for his subtlety, he speaks out the words that God has given him. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? A question or a statement? But then is there really any other answer? Do the leaders cower or step up to face him? Are they prepared for what is to come? Ezekiel pauses. Maybe he too has seen the suffering, seen the hardship. Maybe this was a message he has been wanting to deliver, and now he can. And now. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. Shepherds should know better. Shepherds should be the ones embracing the task of caring and defending, should guide the flock in search for food and water, and at the end of the day bring them back home safely. But the words cut like frost on fingers. These shepherds have been anything but caring. Leaders looking rather to satisfy only their own needs, who grow fat as others struggle, who neglect and abandon, who are harsh and brutal. For leaders now, as much as then, be warned. God sees. God notices your priorities. When those who should be responsible are neglectful and absent, and allow the people to struggle and suffer, God is on the move. He burns forth brighter than any candle. Sheep litter the Bible like a flock on the hillside, familiar and pastoral. Maybe so much so that counting them in this chapter makes us drift away. One sheep, two sheep, three sheep. After all, once you've seen one sheep, you've seen them all. There can't be anything new to see here. But make no mistake, this is a revolution. What God has seen can no longer be held by old images. Now comes something dazzling in its novelty and profound in its depth of love. 17 times God calls out, "My flock." 17 times he claims them, not just sheep who have gone astray or sheep without a shepherd, but my flock. Direct, personal, intimate and involved. 17 times dwarfs Jeremiah 23, the only other time my flock appears in the whole of the Old Testament, and there only twice. They belong to me, he declares again and again. These are mine. Take comfort, little flock, and know that we belong to God. Enough is enough. No longer will the bad shepherds lead the flock, says God. I myself will be their shepherd, and they will be my people. Deliverance, belonging, and salvation. The leaders are held to account. The sheep are safely gathered in the fold. Can we now, then, return to the quiet contemplation of candles? Not quite. Not yet. Now a question comes for us, rising up off the pages and falling down the years. The question, who are you following? It's one thing to identify a bad shepherd, but Augustine from ages past reflects that following a bad shepherd can lead also to our own death. One who imitates a bad leader dies, but whoever does not imitate them lives. So he writes. We cannot simply hide behind a woolly fleece and claim that we are just followers. If the light shines in the darkness, it shines a light of truth. It brings the things done in darkness out into the light, and if we see what is happening, we can no longer pretend not to have noticed. For the light shines on us as well. We need to know too who it is that we are following. But the shepherds are not just harsh and brutal. These shepherds are neglectful too. With no one to watch, the sheep wander. No one notices. No one searches. No one cares. Vulnerable, alone, the sheep are scattered over the whole earth. Will anyone see and take notice? Does it matter if just one sheep wanders off? Does God see and notice? I have seen, speaks the voice of God. His words heavy to those responsible bring comfort to the lost and the torn. Forced from home and land, exile. Too small a word to carry its own weight. They have nothing, are nothing, are just captives of the enemy. Punished, overrun, and taken. Does God not see? Is the light of the candles burning not bright enough to reach to the darkness of the exile? He sees and responds. Strong, comforting, beautiful. For 7 long, intense verses, God declares what he will do. That he will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out, God says. I will tend them. I will search for the lost. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Does God still notice? Does the light still shine? God sees. God notices. God promises. Ezekiel's words, the quiet foreshadows of God's promise to be himself the good shepherd. In the still and the waiting, the voice of a young girl can also almost be heard, proclaiming with confidence that the mighty will be struck down and the lowly will be lifted up. Who else could be the mother of God himself, but someone who understands, as Ezekiel does, that God will not tolerate the powerful to use their strength to abuse the vulnerable, and will not simply stand by as those with responsibility use their position only to benefit themselves. In the darkness, the candles shine out their message of hope and trust in the waiting time of Advent. God holds leaders to account. God sees the places of hope and hopelessness. Take comfort. God sees. And the final promise stands. Stands long after the candles have burnt down. Stands after the wrapping paper strewn carpets have been cleared. Stands when life resumes and waiting ceases. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Sovereign Lord. Next week's podcast will be read by Mark and will be available on Sunday, the 21st of December.